Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
You're right. Nothing does come close to Fridays at 11:30. Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, joining the show right now. Hopefully you're bringing the heat. And I don't mean outside. Darren Dreger, how? Ooh, I like the hat, sir. What is that? Is that a? It's got to be a Raptors hat.
No, in fact, it's probably a ripoff, and there's probably a copyright infringement to this, but it's a buddy at West in Edmonton who has some sort of company, and his logo, which is like JP or something, is inside the Maple Leaf. So it has nothing to do with sports, and it has something to do with a company that my buddy owns.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, it has everything to do with hockey because it has a leaf on the front.
Yeah.
Right? And speaking of Leafs, really did the Sabres a favor last night. Bush League. Bush League, Dregs. Like, we don't need this. Like, the Leafs are supposed to continue their slide. Muzzin is out. They're supposed to suck now.
Well, I mean, based on the way that they played and the inconsistency of how the Maple Leafs have played, you know, it would have been a relatively safe bet, I think, going into that game against Florida last night to expect that the Maple Leafs were likely going to sag or falter, but they didn't do that. And, you know, I look back to last week's bounce back from being embarrassed at the hands of the Pittsburgh Penguins in the back-to-back, and then they come back and they arguably play their best game of the year. You know, then they lay a flat-out egg in a debacle of a game against the Carolina Hurricanes on Saturday where, you know, David Ayers, the emergency goalie, emerged as a hero for all time.
A Hall of Famer.
What's that?
He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, let's
define Hall of Fame. And which Hall of Fame are we talking about here?
Well, in his house, he's going to have a hall, and he will have pictures of all of this, and that'll be his Hall of Fame. But his gear or sticks going into the Hall of Fame.
It is. Yeah. I get it. It's a wonderful story. There's no doubt about that. In fact, you know, we had David and his lovely wife, Sarah, in studio with us on Sunday at TSN, and that was part of his media tour that, you know, I think it included, the Tonight Show and everything else. I mean, this guy went on an absolute media circus tour over a handful of days. You know, that was part of what went on in that game versus the Toronto Maple Leafs, but it maybe was the wake-up call that the Leafs needed, not the David Ayers story, just how humbly they were embarrassed. Particularly on home ice. So they bounced back. They had to, and they beat a good Tampa Bay team on Tuesday, and then they followed up with a win against a very desperate Florida Panthers team. I mean, Florida is now on the map. I mean, the Florida Panthers had to win that game. Otherwise, you know, their playoff fate is in big-time trouble, and they didn't respond, and the Toronto Maple Leafs did. So I'm more curious to see whether or not the Maple Leafs can not only string the back-to-back wins over the Florida teams, but if they can play the way they played last night with attention to defensive detail because of all the injuries, then I think they might show signs that the growing pains have been worth it.
If we go back to Monday, Rasmus Ristolainen, I didn't expect he'd get traded on trade deadline day, but
right.
His name's been out there for almost a year now. Do you feel or have you heard that maybe groundwork is being laid for something in the off season, or is his name just out of the picture now?
I wouldn't say it's out of the picture, but you guys know this because you cover the team so closely. what is undeniable is the fact that there's a good relationship and maybe even a coach-player type of bond that has developed between Ralph Krueger and Rasmus Ristolainen. And so you don't have the same dynamic today that you had prior to the start of the season. And I think Ralph Krueger has done a real good job of salvaging a top-level asset here. Now, that's not to say that Ristolainen won't be in play in the offseason. We know that the Buffalo Sabres are in the market for a centerman, and they want a good centerman. Well, to get a centerman, be it in-season or even off-season when there's more flexibility, you have to be willing to give up quality. And so I think that, you know, the potential of that Ristolainen involvement will be revisited in the offseason, but only for the perfect fit. And that almost never happens at the trade deadline. So I'm not prepared to say that he's off the books and out of the mix entirely. I think that, you know, based on all the speculation, any team that's even willing to consider giving up this top center, not top center, but second line center that the Buffalo Sabres are likely looking for is probably going to ask for Ristolainen and perhaps others.
Darren Dreger on the line with us, as he always is, Friday at 11:30. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter, TSN Hockey Insider. Josh Anderson, what kind of info can you give us on him? He's a guy that's still on our dry erase board in the back.
Well, as a hopeful, keep him there for a while. Yeah. You know, we haven't taken him out of the mix yet, and there's no reason to. And look, the Columbus Blue Jackets were hopeful that he'd be back in the lineup well before now. And now his season is over, and it sounds like he's headed for surgery as early as next week on a shoulder that just, you know, it won't come around. Now, is this something that, you know, he might have been able to play through? I don't know. As Pierre LeBrun reported as part of our insider trading segment last night, there seems to be a disagreement in terms of the treatment plan of Josh Anderson between the club and those close to Josh Anderson. But what I know is this: when he's healthy, and if the Columbus Blue Jackets are legitimately going to put him in play, he's a restricted free agent at the end of the year. There's going to be a list of teams that will take a crack at him. And the Buffalo Sabres should be among those teams. When you look at power forwards, power wingers, especially young available ones, there aren't many on that list. And Josh Anderson is on that list. So, you know, maybe the Columbus Blue Jackets are disenchanted because of how things have gone over the last several weeks as Josh Anderson tries to get healthy again. But if that's reason enough for them to legitimately put him on the block in the offseason, then I can assure you that there will be a high level of competition for his services.
Let me ask you this, and I don't know if what kind of contract number do you think a player like this looks for? Because last year 47 points, this year 4 points in 20 some odd games, he has one goal, obviously injured. So where do you go? Because right now he's on like what? He's on that end of that 3-year deal of like 1.8 maybe. So where does he fall into the mix in terms of salary, do you think? Like, how does it, because that would be a tricky contract for a team.
It's difficult to answer because you can't just wipe away the fact that he's had a tough year. Now, you know, you can excuse it to some degree because when you're not playing, you obviously can't contribute. And he's not playing because he's got a bad shoulder. But that all has to be factored in. There's arbitration that can be included in all of this. So to say that, you know, he's going to get a healthy raise, I think the only way he gets a healthy raise is if he accepts a term on the contract. Or maybe he goes for a shorter term again and just proves to whoever he's signing with when it gets traded that he's worth a long-term look. But it's too difficult to say what he might be looking for now.
Yeah, I know that. And I'm not trying to give you an impossible question to answer. I'm just looking at circumstance because he has 1 year of RFA, and then he's a UFA. So, I mean, probably he'd want a short-term deal, right? I mean, ideally, if he wants to cash in and prove everybody wrong, he's going to be looking – like, I don't know if a team would want to give him a one-year deal. Like, I wouldn't want Buffalo to go and trade for him unless he was signed. Or at least have that contract already negotiated.
No, I agree with that. And look, if I were a team that was trading for Josh Anderson, number one, you know that you're going to have to pay a decent price to acquire this guy. The Columbus Blue Jackets aren't throwing him on a scrap heap here. They – they know that he's a valued player when he's healthy. So if you're willing to give up the assets to acquire him, I believe that, man, you got to be at least getting a three-year term, aren't you? Where you're getting 2 years of his unrestricted free agency. And maybe that's short enough for Josh Anderson to say, all right, well, you know, I'm not trying to hit a grand slam or even a home run here. I'm just trying to hit a double.
Yeah, make
a little bit of money, you know. So what is that number? It's got to be three or less. And then he proves to everyone, maybe the team that he's been traded to and he signs with, even on a shorter term, that he is worth the money that he's going to expect when he hits the open market as an unrestricted free agent. So, you know, maybe the trade-off, again, is buying 2 years of that unrestricted free agency.
Yeah, that injury, the toughest time for that injury.
It's a tough one.
For everybody, his agent, the team that he might get traded to, the player. Moving on, Darren Dreger on the line here. I don't know, Hammy, if you wanted to add to that, but I wanted to ask about GM meetings, what we might hear from there. And then after that, I have a CBA question for you, but I know. Well, aren't they talking? Like, I thought I heard somewhere that they met recently.
No, and that's the extent of it, to be fair. They're meeting on a regular basis now. You know what's wonderful about this, though, from a media perspective? And look, we've all been invested in past CBA dealings, whether, you know, Petey, it's you as a player, or, you know, Hammy and I as reporters covering this thing. I'm glad that it's kind of out of the public eye, at least for the moment. When they get to a point where talks either break off because one side isn't happy with the other side, or they're reaching a point where they're getting closer to a resolution, that's when our interest will be elevated. The good news is they are meeting on a regular basis.
Yeah.
They met a couple of times last week. I'm sure that there would have been communications, if not meetings, this week. So they're hammering away at it, but I wouldn't be, you know, putting up any sort of celebration plans at this point either. I think that there's a lot of work that has to get done. But given the fact that they're already so engaged in the process with the time that they have available to them, I'm optimistic. I think that that's a good sign in the bigger picture.
What do you think the biggest CBA point will be that might be a sticking point, if there is one?
Well, I think you can look at it from both sides. If you look at it from an ownership perspective, I know that there are a number of owners around the NHL that just hate the front-loaded contracts. And so many of the big boys now are getting that money up front. You know, it's one thing to earn the multi-year extension. It's all guaranteed money. But then to get the majority of that contract in signing bonus on an annual basis, I mean, holy smokes, that's something that most owners don't like. And really, it doesn't circumvent the cap, because it obviously doesn't. You can't do that. But it does create a system of haves versus have-nots. You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs can pay Mitch Marner upwards of almost $16 million in one calendar year because they have the resources, the cap, or the cash wherewithal to do that. I would say that a good chunk of the NHL ownership group doesn't have that level of resource. So I think that that's an area of attack from the ownership standpoint. And from a player perspective, you know what it is. They hate paying escrow. Escrow is never going away because you need it to create that 50-50 whole system. But maybe there's a mechanism that you can cap escrow at a certain lower percentage that would be palatable for the players. And then on top of all of that, you've got the international calendar. You know, we know recently that the International Olympic Committee came out and made it seem like they were willing to concede and give the NHL and the Players Association maybe a sponsorship layer at the Olympic Games, which would allow the NHL and the Players Association to use the Olympic logo, to use some Olympic video in marketing and in some sales mechanisms that they may generate. So those are all things that will be hashed out in time.
Team USA wheeling around with Chipotle badges on their shoulders. That's what they were doing at the World Juniors. What about GM meetings? What's going to come out from that? Obviously, backup goaltenders, but anything earth-shattering?
No, I wouldn't say earth-shattering. I mean, this is the meeting where, you know, if they make any tweaks, this is the meeting where they'll do that. I haven't heard of anything that's, you know, overly interesting. You know, you're always going to get your managers who are beefing about the condensed schedule and how they don't like the fact that, you know, they've got teams who are waiting in their city after they're coming home from a road trip. And, you know, that team has had a couple of days off. So you'll have that. Obviously, the emergency goaltender situation. We talked earlier in the segment here about David Ayers and the fact that, you know, he's become a hero for Carolina Hurricanes fans, but certainly a recognizable figure around the world now. You know, is there a better way of creating a legit criteria for what an emergency goalie can and has to be? You know, maybe there's a maximum age, so you don't have a 42-year-old dude going in there. Maybe there's a minimum professional criteria where you had to have had to at least play at a certain level of pro hockey or major junior hockey, if you will, or college hockey. And the other thing, and it might be most important, you know, that individual should not be employed by the team that you're playing for or playing against. And that was a big issue, I would think, for a lot of people, because David Ayers is employed by Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which is the parent company of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So
it looked like he was working for them on the first couple shots, Drags. Look, it looked like he was working for the Leafs on the first couple shots. No question.
Yeah. No question.
Do you think Department of Player Safety gets brought up? Suspensions, Evander Kane's comments, stuff like that?
For sure. Yeah, and officiating, right? I mean, you can't scroll through Twitter on a nightly basis without seeing, you know, video evidence of missed calls or, you know, where, you know, a call maybe shouldn't have been made or whatever, and all of the beefing that goes along with that, primarily from media and the fans. But Stephen Walken, the director of NHL officiating, will be there front and center, as he is at every general manager meeting. And George Parros and the Department of Player Safety will be well represented. And look, they're there. And, you know, they're there to answer questions and face the music. And I think George does an excellent job of having that one-on-one time with general managers who have concerns over, you know, a comparison call, if you will. Well, how does this guy get suspended for this? And that guy doesn't get suspended. You know, he gets fined or he doesn't get anything. So those systemic presentations are a big part of it. And there'll be a business platform as well that's related, again, to international hockey. There'll be a CBA update. And I'm sure, you know, Seattle may have some form of update as well as to how things are progressing there.
Darren Dreger joining us. Last question for you. And we may have asked it right off the bat, but I just want to know, were there any trades that didn't go through, minus the Parise and Ladd one, that maybe that nobody knew about? Sabres or otherwise?
I don't think so. You know, I think the Buffalo Sabres generally are happy with what they got. You know, provided that things go well with Wayne Simmonds in a Buffalo Sabres uniform, I don't think anybody would be surprised. Again, let's see how the next 20 go if they tried to re-sign him. I mean, they wanted size, they wanted the grit, they wanted the leadership that comes in the package of Wayne Simmonds. And, you know, Dominic Cahoon was also an interesting depth add as well. They wanted to add a piece in that 19 to 25-year-old range, and they did that. But, you know, beyond the Parise-Andrew Ladd thing, I'm sure there was some smaller scale stuff that didn't come to fruition, but you know, all the Tyson Berry rumors and all that, I don't believe that there was anything close there.
I'm going to text you my address, have your friend JP ship me a hat, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for your time again, Dregs, as usual. Great stuff, man.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
All right. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.